Mission Daily is back. You know who I am, and I'm joined as always by...
Hey everyone, it's Stephanie.
We are excited to have you here. If you've heard that number that we keep throwing out, it's for you. It's for you to text. Just go ahead and text it. You might not know what type of response you get.
Or until, who will be responding.
Until you try.
Is it Chad?
Who knows?
Is it the baby? I don't know.
Who knows? Could be the chief baby officer at 833-308-0863. We'll hear from you soon. And now, let's jump on to the show. Hey.
Hey there. It's Friday.
It's Friday indeed.
That is a good singing voice.
Mission Daily is becoming the Mission Daily morning show.
Oh my gosh. On Friday.
It is happy hour. And Steph, what are you drinking over there?
A white wine that you put many ice cubes in.
Got to keep it chilled from the inside.
Yeah. What about you?
Nothing. Just having some water. Had some lemon in my water earlier. And I'm loving that.
Where's my fake tequila sunrise that I made you yesterday with, was it celery juice and grapefruit juice. Where's that at? Huh? You didn't like that?
It was just okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Tasted like the ingredients.
Celery.
And grapefruit juice, yeah.
I'll try harder next time.
No, it was great. What'd you do this week?
Oh, so many interviews this week.
Yeah.
Good ones, but yeah, lots of interviews for Up Next in Commerce. So that was about my week.
Yeah, you were crushing the research. I had fun talking to you about some of the stuff you were prepping for questions.
Yeah.
And I learned a lot about the industrial plumbing sector of the economy.
Yeah, wholesalers. It's interesting though. Yeah. And I was prepping a bit too for next week, our creativity week. So that was fun thinking about the topics and yeah, what I wanted to talk about there. So
yeah, I told Steph, I was like, you gotta do some episodes.
Come up with some of the research.
Yeah. But I want to get your take on the outlines and your sparking conversation with some of your new topics. So
yeah.
Yeah. So I went to the dentist.
Mm-hmm. How'd that go?
I mean, just like you can imagine, kind of. Yeah, it's pretty lame. I think it's funny. I think
someone describing the dentist is lame. Sorry, it's kind of funny.
Yeah, it's pretty lame. But so I was in there. And what I think is striking is that they told me my gums are receding because I had braces.
Mm-hmm.
Now my gums are starting to recede.
Yeah,
I'm just thinking like, man, this is what I got when I listened to you guys the first time. Like messed up.
You put me
gums
here.
In pain for... For years.
You did this on purpose.
And I was just thinking how ridiculous that was. But that's what it is. Like, teeth are great, everything. Yeah. But not that.
Yeah.
Mm. That's pretty lame.
Makes you question the industry. But, well.
Yeah. But all good. Yeah. And there's, and I was asking them, I was like, there's no way to regrow this. There's no way to regrow gums in 2020. And
figure
they're
it
like,
out,
no,
people.
No, we have to, do gum grafts. It's actually not that bad. But they wanted me to get it checked out. So, yeah, I was just pretty bummed by that. And we need some better technology to regrow biology here.
Well, once Elon Musk puts the GPT-3 in your head and then trains the model how to regrow it.
No, thanks.
Maybe we'll be there.
Yeah, no, thanks.
No. I was earlier reading a bit about music therapy. Have you heard about this?
I have. Yeah.
Yeah. So Spotify is creating these playlists around, moods and stuff like that. And I was just reading a bit about that and thought, how interesting it is, because a lot of people, I think, do that without even thinking about, how it's boosting their mood and how it can, really help with wherever they're at. And lately, you've probably heard me putting on like reggae music and stuff because things have felt a little bit stressful. And it was just nice to put on like some island music and just kind of get into the, the vibe and like really not worry about a thing.
Yeah, I was doing pretty well not worrying about a thing until I just walked in here. And before I walked in, my mom was just telling me like, oh, no, yeah, Grayson's with Judy. Grayson's wonderful nanny. And I walked in there and he's like still on the phone. He's been on grandma's phone for like five minutes, maybe 6 minutes or something. And I just asked her, I was like, hey, I don't really want him to be on the phone really at all. And it's
turned
so,
into a thing.
Yeah, it's so funny. Yeah. How much my mom kind of defends that. And she's like, oh, it's okay. He's going to self-soothe. I was like, I don't want him to self-soothe.
That's like babies for one,
with
self-soothing.
A phone. Yeah, it's not healthy to self-soothe with a phone. And like, he's watching videos of animals, but I just don't like the idea of self-soothing with technology.
But I think
I think it's problematic.
that's like a two-pronged interesting thing where so many people, when like we do tell them like, oh, we're trying to not do this or do this, you know, differently or whatever, people can get really triggered if they either think it's okay or they do that. Even if it's something that like we're not fully set on, it's just like, hey, we're trying this, or this is something that like we want to limit or whatever.
Yeah.
It's funny how people can get triggered about something that we're deciding to do or not do.
For sure. And what have you been reading, or what else have you been checking out this
reading
week?
Yeah. I mean, I have been nerding out. Like I just mentioned, I've been reading about that GPT-3 stuff and just hearing about the different type of stuff that people are developing from it. And then like, I didn't actually
I shut down.
You did shut down. Yeah.
So, I mean, it's pretty intimidating.
See, I don't think it's that intimidating. I think we just take such opposite views on that, because when I read more about it and I just see how it's like trains itself, it really just makes me be like, oh, this is why humans prevail, because it's not creative and it's only based on the data that you're feeding it. And it starts going into like circular loops at a certain point.
Yeah.
And yeah, like I think it can help with a lot of like processes and stuff. But there will be a point when people see like, oh, this is built by a machine. There's no creativity. Like it's all starting to feel the same. And this is built by someone who's actually thinking. And mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't think you have anything to worry about.
Yeah, no, I don't think so either. But it's, if technology stayed in its current state, I think we do. I think it's just because our user interfaces for technology right now are so rudimentary. We have to either use our, you know, opposable thumbs and digits or voice to command them. It's so rudimentary right now. It's so basic that once it gets past what the like kind of interfaces that John Underkoffler is working on, he came on to talk about some of the work he did for Minority Report, which is build these you know, augmented reality user interfaces. A lot of people might remember Tom Cruise's character in the movie using these. And he spun out a technology company that has a real world version of that product. And I think we're going to have to see more of these because, you know, in prepping for the Annie Jacobson interview, we talked about DARPA a little bit, and they're working on a synthetic, basically like head computer, you know, where you put on and control basic text with your thoughts. And yeah, these are the user interfaces we need to really get to the realm of thought and not just words. So you can start to show people what you mean. And the more that you can show it in like a design form representation, the easier it's going to be to communicate with machines.
Yeah, no, so. I agree. Yeah, I'd say when it comes to that kind of stuff, I always take the approach of not being worried about it. And then it's also interesting because, you know, certain figureheads, I think even Elon Musk was like worried about AI. And he's the one who's backing this. Like, it's his thing. Like, he's part of it.
I know. It's a great marketing tactic. And it's a thing where, I mean, well, his thing is like, he wants us to become symbiotic with it, or, you know, so he says.
Yeah.
And that's what the idea is right now. But I think becoming symbiotic with a prosthetic we've created is very different than, you know, being the mitochondria that sneaks into the larger organism. I don't think it's quite as extreme as that.
Yeah. And I just think it undervalues the brain. Like, no one even understands the human brain at this point. So to think that like a computer will be able to figure that out, I mean, like I said, it's all based on training data. Like, it's not going to be able to do what our brains do, because no one's even figured out our brains yet. So they can't train a computer on that, how to think creatively and like, you know, be like quickly react to things. Like, it'll be like, yeah, sure. If I need to react, I have like these five options that I've learned to react, but nope. It can't come at me.
Mapping my thoughts. Ethical decision trees is going to be critical, and making sure that those decision trees are available to the public, and I think is going to be super important, which is what OpenAI is basically doing. But I think it's vital that everyday people be able to look at see like, okay, these are the decision trees. And I think it should be taught in all public school now, like public schools now, as something to be like, you should be informed about, basically, because if you're not going to become informed about it, you're not going to be able to imagine some of the ways that it might be used, you know, against you or for you, or whatever. So, yeah,
I mean, that is a good point about making sure that you can spot like the fraud. I think that'll be a big thing that people will have to learn. Like, is this real? Is this a person? Is it not? But that's already here.
Yep.
So, yeah. What have you been reading? What's up? What have you been doing this week?
You know, I took a break from reading much. I read that article you sent me from the Georgetown professor. I thought that was cool. And yeah, I've really dropped the ball with reading.
Well, I was showing you, did you read the article I sent you about the unbundling and of Reddit and Craigslist?
I didn't read it yet, but I want to. It's super cool.
Should dive into that maybe.
Visual article, yeah, where it breaks down all of the components of like Craigslist or Reddit and then shows how they go on to become products. So
yeah, like each individual category starts becoming products. I think that's just really interesting and a good way to spot like business opportunities. And that was the whole point with the Reddit article was that when you see like right now, I think, especially with COVID,
like where does your product exist in the market right now?
Or what is like something hot right now, like houseplants?
Or what
are like booming?
What constellation of existing products, services, message boards, or whatever makes up your product? Yeah.
Yeah. But my whole point is about creating a product from that, like doing the research there, like I'm mentioning about like houseplants, like seeing that that's like a thread that's like on fire right now, possibly because everyone's home and they're like, I need something to take care of. I need some more plants, but
it is,
like people are spinning off direct to consumer houseplant companies because of the threads that they see happening there and what people are interested in. So it's just a fun way to think about, you know, coming up with ideas, business ideas, creative ideas, and just kind of seeing like what the market's looking for right now.
I think that is too.
Yep.
So you said that I've been doing pretty well this week. What's my score?
You looking for compliments.
Okay.
Yeah. No. So your score this week, well,
I mean, an improved rating.
Yeah. You have been doing great this week. So we have talked about, you know, you've had a lot of ups and downs while going through the different therapies and treatments and things like that. And this week, it just feels like there was some kind of shift that happened. And I think that you've been doing really great when it comes to, you know, you had a great attitude. You were looking positively on things. Like you weren't getting triggered by things. I don't know. I think you did great.
Thank you. Yeah, I really appreciate that. Yeah. That's 5 months of super hard work. I guess five and a half, almost 6 months.
Yeah.
Now. So that's pretty awesome. Thanks. That means a lot. Yeah. So I have been reading one book. I just thought of it. The Shallows, What the Internet is Doing to Our Brains.
Okay.
And that's the book where the reference about the time getting us out of the last plague and kind of into the Renaissance, meaning the invention of the clock. And yeah, I just thought that was just such an interesting example of how a time went from, you know, tribalistic into a really, really like harmonious time period. So yeah, that's very optimistic about that. But we need those type of inventions to get us to the next harmonious time period.
Yeah.
Which I do think is around the corner.
Oh, I think so too. Anyone who's so pessimistic right now.
Yeah.
Nope. I don't want to hear it. Maybe I'm an optimist.
Yeah. I don't think so. There's just such a huge amount of money that's been on the sidelines for so long. And I think the powers that be, just meaning like large pools of capital, are so desperate for returns that the second, you know, a couple of these companies get an opportunity to repatriate their money or something along those lines, we're going to see major investment all over, you know, second tier, third tier cities. Yeah, and it's going to be a really cool time because everybody's fanning out, moving from the coasts. Yeah, you were showing the article about different moving trends
people
in the country.
Yeah, I mean, I think that this is just having people start to think about, like, do I need to live in this hot, you know, hot area, San Francisco, like wherever.
So many trade-offs.
yeah. But I think it's good. Good disruptions coming up. People starting to think about like, what does a house even mean? Like, do I even need a house right now? Do I need to own it or not own it? Like, would I rather be fluid and flexible? Like, it's bringing out a lot of questions that maybe wouldn't have come out otherwise. So all good trends.
Agreed. And I was just thinking too, we need to bring more of the writer's room and editorial room feel to the episodes that we outlined for Mission Daily and the story. I thought that might be a really cool thing to do on Happy Hour Friday.
Okay.
Next time.
All right. Let's do that next Friday.
Let's do it. Don't you miss just like collaborating in like when we used to act story episodes or.
I mean, I liked it, but I just remember it being really intense because I was like 8 months pregnant and we were trying to like pump out like an episode of the story the next day.
Yeah.
Which still had to be like narrated. Well, written, narrated, edited. It was just an intense time period. So, so I don't know if I miss that as much. I don't know.
Not that aspect of it. I mean, like having a new, quieter type, more relaxed writer's room where we outline the different theme weeks or different episode ideas and kind of have a vetting process for just getting them greenlit. So,
Okay. So it's like,
especially because we're going to start, because we're going to start having a researcher create some of the outlines, like the stories that we assign them for these episodes. So yeah, I'm pretty optimistic about taking a step back and really putting some effort into designing these episodes for the listener. And I'm excited to see what we come up with.
Cool. So, well, if there are any topics that you all would like us to cover, let us know. Hit us up on the socials, email us.
Yep, at the Mission HQ. And I'm Chad at mission.org and Chad Grills on socials. And yeah, let me know.
Yep. And we will see you next week.
See you next week. Thanks for listening, everyone. This podcast and all of the 12 others in our network now are brought to you by world-class sponsors. If you are a company that's looking for original content and marketing, head over to mission.org/studios to learn more. Learn why some of the biggest brands in the world trust us to create results. If you're a B2B company especially, we would love to hear from you. We have original content and marketing campaign ideas for days, and we give them out free of charge. Head over to mission.org/studios to connect with me, Steph, or Toasty, our mascot, and learn more. mission.org/studios, or click the link in the show notes.